Hello and welcome to edition 155 of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We're also broadcasting on Future Radio in Norwich. See, I got the plug in, Steve. There you go. Thumbs up. And brought to you by our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. Have some fun by racing and signing up to the game. Just visit nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1 and you can join us there. I am sports journalist and sometime F1 correspondent Michael Bailey, and we are at the Buck in Thorpe St Andrew, Norwich. We're literally across the road from the rush cutters and the river and the trains, I'm afraid, Rich. He's smiling.
Can't see him from here, though.
That's probably best. Keep focused. But the Buck is a lovely pub, too, so we're here. We're going to bring you our Bahrain Grand Prix review. That's round three, of course, of the 2017 Formula One season. And joining me this week, I have Damon Hill fan and Mustang owner, Richard Baxter.
Good evening.
I have Prediction League defending champion, Steve Rust.
Hello.
And making his NRF1 debut, Callum Springle. Callum, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
Very well, thank you very much. And and thank you for some fantastic blogs on the website. Great reading, great stuff. And by all accounts, journalism, Formula One correspondent is the way you want to go in future?
In an ideal world. But it's very generous of you to compliment the works that I've done for the blogs as well.
We're very generous here at the NRF1, Callum, just you wait. And if you want to catch any of Callum's blogs and any of our other blogs, although they're sort of a bit fewer and far between, Rich has written some good ones. I wrote one once, I think, back in the day. Carl's written a few too. Maybe we'll up it over the course of the year. Callum's raised the bar, so myself, I feel like I've let everyone down. But you can read them all at nrf1.uk, so go and have a look if you can. So we've done the introductions. We now need to get into the race, where Ferrari did it again. Well done, Sebastian Vettel. He's a man who's back in form, Steve.
Certainly is. I think we've definitely got a pretty good championship on our hands this season. It's definitely going to be pretty tight for probably most of the season, if not the whole season. But yeah, it's good. It's good to see, really, rather than just having a Mercedes fight. Really, it's good to see another team in. Let's be honest.
As long as that fight carries on, I suppose, which is the key thing. I mean, there was a lot of intrigue, Callum, but ultimately, did it ever look like anyone else was going to win that race? Because I'm not convinced.
Yeah, it did feel quite comfortable, but I think generally, I think the safety car was kind of what decided it. I suppose you could arguably say that it was a safety car that pushed Mercedes onto a two-stopper. So then, obviously, with Ferrari having stopped so early, they were behind for the rest of the race. Whereas if the safety car didn't come out and the Mercedes were able to run for a little bit longer on the super softs, maybe they could have gone long enough, probably 22, 23 laps into the race, and switched straight onto the softs and gone to the end, which probably would have been more an interesting race, but I don't think it would have changed the result, frankly.
There were a few things that would have made it a more interesting race, I suppose, and the fact that Lewis, not only the safety car, but he kind of botched his entry into the pits, which got him his 5-second grid penalty, and we're sitting there watching this battle that actually isn't really a battle, because he'd have to finish 5 seconds up the road from Sebastian Vettel. Kind of did for Lewis in total, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a really funny incident, the pit lane incident, because first of all, I thought, oh, he's just slowing down to let Bottas get out of the way so we can have a clean run into his pit box. But then someone said to me today, he was trying to hold up Ricciardo, and I thought, but would he need to do that? And then at the time, I thought, well, if it was that much of a problem, why didn't Ricciardo go past? I think it was last year. I can't remember what race circuit it was, but Button was going slow on the entry, and Vettel went past him, just overtook him half on the track, half on the grass, and it was fine. Then, of course, it was safety car conditions, so he couldn't do that. But at the time, that's what I was thinking. Why didn't he just... So there's all sorts of things, but it was a really odd incident. But, I mean, OK, it was, you know, driving unnecessarily slowly, but then was it... Can you really say it was unnecessarily slowly if he was trying to help his team out a bit?
Well, even David Coulthard said, well, the pit lane is part of the racetrack, so it's fine. I mean, he was convinced it was okay, and until obviously then, you know, they then got penalised by the stewards.
I think that there was no case at all, to be honest. It was completely his fault, his own doings, and I think that's what ultimately lost him the race. or at least a pretty good chance of winning the race. I mean, there weren't really any need for it at all, in my opinion, and I don't think he would have lost 5 seconds even sitting behind Bottas, you know, considering a pit stop is usually 2-2.5 seconds. And I think at the time when he started to slow down, I think Bottas had already arrived in his pit box, so it might have been even less by the time he'd got there. So I think really it was just pointless. I didn't really see why I even decided to try it, really.
Lewis kind of admitted it himself, didn't he, Callum, that kind of blew his race. So at least he's acknowledging it, because it underlines it's been a tricky kind of start to the season for him.
Well, it's not been too bad. I mean, if you look at it since Malaysia, he's actually scored 176 of the 200 points available. So
yeah, fair enough. Yeah, you're probably right there. That's fine.
Well, yeah, but obviously one win in three when Vettel's won both of them, it's not exactly what he'd want. But we've seen this in probably 2010 is a decent example of what can go wrong when you take a lead so early. You know, the McLarens back then sort of stormed away up until around kind of Turkey, Canada kind of time. And then after the summer, Red Bull just went on this development drive with Ferrari and left them in their wake, really.
Ah, oh, the days when McLaren were flying. Hey, we'll maybe get onto that in a bit. So we've assessed how much Hamilton blew it. How much did Valtteri Bottas blow it? After sticking his car on pole, thrilling moment. He was beaming. Lewis Hamilton was busy pointing at Valtteri. It was all like, look at this guy. It's great. And then Sunday happened and that was not pretty.
Well,
and he still finished on the podium. This is the bizarre thing.
It was really funny because they were saying about he had a tyre pressure issue, so the back end was all over the place. I mean, some drivers just kind of drive through a problem even though it's there. I mean, we've seen people do that famously, like Michael Schumacher in Belgium 98 when he only had three wheels on his car and he still managed to keep going around. But you get people, they find a way to get, you know, work around the problem, get through it. But Bottas didn't quite do that. But I mean, the Saturday was phenomenal. I thought that the lap he pulled off, I really thought was brilliant. And it was, he said he was going to make up for his error from the previous race in China where he spun under the safety car. And to be honest, with that pole position, I think he did that. He did seem really dejected on the podium, though. And Hamilton did as well, to be fair. So it was really kind of strange mood that was happening.
And I guess team orders was probably part of that as well. The fact that Mercedes ordered Valtteri to let Hamilton through. Do we have any complaints about that? Because we obviously normally want them to let them race and get on with it. And we were spared a battle.
At the time, I was sitting there thinking, I feel really uncomfortable. Given the history of all of that with that team, and I was just sort of thinking, oh, not again, you know, because I think really they were kind of that close, and clearly one was faster than the other. Maybe they should have just let them actually get on with it. But I suppose at that point, Mercedes were thinking, well, we've got one driver that still could win the race. You know, so it does sort of happen, and I wondered how that might unfold in the green room afterwards. But one thing I noticed is they were both actually sitting down together, just chatting about the race, presumably. And I thought that was actually quite nice, because I mean, you never saw that with Nico. It was just always backs to each other, standing up opposite directions, talking to somebody else, you know.
Am I right in thinking Hamilton said on the radio something like, I'll let him back through if I can't catch up, or something like that?
Yeah.
It does seem a really good relationship between the two of them at the moment. Of course, it's still early days, isn't it, Callum? But you'd like, I don't know, there's something, I like seeing that. I don't mind that necessarily. I know people like to see drivers at each other's throats, and that's good too, of course, but I don't mind the respect that they've got.
Well, just wait until Valtteri starts beating him. I mean, it happened with Rosberg up until, what was it, like mid-2013 or something. And then same thing happened at McLaren with Jensen. And, you know, when he got up hiding in 2011, it didn't particularly, you know, it wasn't exactly, in 2012, it wasn't quite like it was right at the start.
We should mention at this point, Callum, Jensen Button fan. So a season of adjustment without Jensen this year, but he's pulling through. Sebastian Vettel, the last time he won the two of the first three races was in 2011, when, of course, he went on to win the title, because he won them all then. We should just say, we've just been joined by Ped. Perry Hamilton is here. I saw you arrive in your big car, your Duke.
Yeah. No, it's not a Duke. It's a Tucson.
Sorry, it's right. Tuscan, that's right.
Hyundai, yeah. Hyundai.
We should say Ped's here because we're going to be doing the Formula One Global Fans Survey podcast after this. We're going to go through the whole Formula One fan survey and give up and put Formula One right as a podcast. How excited are you by that, Ben?
Thoroughly excited now you've explained what it is we're doing. There was an element of confusion before I arrived. Michael said podcast, I just turned up.
As is customary. Also, of course, I need to get you a drink, and plus the guys just come back from Hawaii, so we've got some discussions.
You might be able to see from the t-shirt, University of Hawaii Rainbow Warriors.
And this will be the point at which I've taken a picture of Ped's t-shirt for the social media. So there we go. I think we'll leave it there. It's fair to say everything so far still boding well for a good season, a good close racing season. I've been actually really impressed by how it's gone so far. And I don't even think it's an issue we've had a lack of overtaking necessarily, because the racing's been good. And they're probably two separate things. So hurrah! Hurrah indeed. Okay, plugs time. New pod routine that we're doing. It seems to be going down a storm. Thank you very much for your feedback. And we've got plenty more planned for 2017, of course. Two, if you want to catch any of our past podcasts and get yourself subscribed to the NRF1 podcast through your player of choice, so the latest editions are delivered straight to your mobile, desktop or tablet, just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe to find your link, be it iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Spreaker, Stitcher, Acast, whatever. And of course, if you do subscribe to us via iTunes, please give us a rating and a review, and that will help us move up the charts and be ever more prominent in changing Formula One for the better. All you need to do is visit nrf1.uk/isonitunes. Right, let's bring you our Sakir NRF1 pit stops. Okay, we've got quite a few to rattle through, so let's do it. We'll start at Red Bull, shall we? Max Verstappen. I think we were robbed of a bit of a Max Verstappen race, weren't we? Initially I was like, wow, Max has gone off. That never happens. And of course it was a brake issue because Max is inhuman. So, I mean, that was such a shame because he'd made the strategy call and it looked like he was going to thrust himself right into the sharp end of the race.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he was on the same strategy as Vettel, but the thing is that the Red Bull lacks so much more downforce that, they're about half a second off, I think, in Bahrain. So whether, he might have held up both of the Mercedes, which would have been, probably would have detracted from the spectacle, if anything, especially when Hamilton was charging up on Vettel the last sort of few laps. I don't think he really would have challenged, frankly, for the win anyway, but yeah, it might have taken off one or two of the Mercedes guys.
Yeah, I thought the way he was at the start, he was speaking with his team saying, should we try something different like Ferrari? And you could see he was thinking for the rest of the race. And then, of course, just a few corners later, it was all over. And that was such a disappointment because right then at the start of the race, because obviously Bottas wasn't really pulling away from the field, and we had, I think it was the first six or seven, maybe eight cars really close together, and that was like proper Formula One, how all the fans really want to see it. It was just a shame that we kind of lost another car from that battle, because I think he could have been on for a podium for sure.
Podium?
No, I don't think they had the pace to do it. No.
But at least it would have been good to find out. Should we mention the fact that he, after qualifying, where he was a bit frustrated, he was a bit annoyed at, I think, Felipe Massa for doing something. So he said, oh, well, he's Brazilian, so there's not much to discuss about sorting it out. Bit of a slight on Brazil and the Brazilian people, I would argue. It's okay, though, because Max put out a big statement afterwards saying, I love Brazilian people, they're great. So is this going to come up again when he heads to Sao Paulo later in the season, Rich? Come on.
I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
They may well have long memories. We'll have to see. Max, think before you open your mouth, you idiot. You don't need to do it. He's good enough on the track. He doesn't need to say stupid things like that.
Hamilton for a while wasn't that liked in Brazil, but then he is now by a lot of people there. So.
But then Lewis hadn't said anything bad about Brazil, had he? It just seems Lewis gets booed everywhere.
He just seemed to steal the world championship from their favourite driver at the time. But
yeah, well, yeah. All's fair in love and Formula One. I think that's what they say. Sauber, Pascal Wehrlein. Now, interesting part here is only after the race, he's come back. He's raced for the first time this season properly. I think he only got free practice, didn't he, in Australia. We suddenly see pictures emerge of post-crash of him in all sorts of sort of Darth Vader stormtrooper gear to keep his neck upright after his Race of Champions gear. I mean, it's obviously a serious injury that he's had, and we've been sitting here questioning, whether he was going to come back at all. I thought he was outstanding. Well, Steve, now you don't fancy it?
No, I think I've missed something here, so you best pass this on. Apologies.
That's all right, I'll edit that bit out. But one of the drivers of the weekend.
He was, yeah. I was really annoyed because there was only obviously a week between China and Bahrain, And he announced that he was coming back, and I thought, what difference is a week going to make? He's not going to be anywhere. He'll retire after a few laps because he's hurt his neck or something. And I could have been much more wrong. So credit to the guy. He did have a really good race and a good qualifying, and you know, really pulled something out of the bag. But that's kind of annoyed me a bit, because I was ready to have a bit of a rant and say, oh, he wasn't good enough, but he's proved me wrong. So yeah, credit to him, he's done good.
No, my memory's just come back now.
Oh, you've remembered, have you?
Yes, because we discussed this on the last pod, didn't we?
With Giovinazzi.
You asked me whether he thought that was it for his season.
Oh, it was you who said it, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. And I said, I think with the shortness of Formula One these days, sometimes with the smaller teams and that, it could be. And I sort of said he could have lost his opportunity for this year. Nice to see he's proved me wrong.
Yeah, spot on. I'm sorry, Steve, I hadn't actually remembered it was you. But to all of us, and we all felt that there was something funny going on. And I guess there was, because the injury was probably worse than any of us had known. Or it's just weird that they only started releasing pictures of it after the event, and after they've seen him come back and deliver something on the track. And he did, didn't he?
He was quite a lot quicker than Marcus Ericsson. Norfolk's own Marcus Ericsson.
Good man. Oh, look at this guy. I love it.
I think he sort of showed really what the kind of potential that he has. And I thought he was, quite frankly, I thought last year he was quite unlucky to be overlooked by Force India, even if it is for Ocon.
I've got next here McLaren. Ped, you're looking at me. I'd love to ask you about it. Fernando Alonso to Indy. Indy 500. He's going to race Indy 500. Did you know this? You must know. Yeah. Well, I don't know. You're in Hawaii. You might not get Hawaii. Do you get Wi-Fi in Hawaii? First question.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. You
do. Good news. Right. Okay. So Fernando Alonso.
Let me watch the Chinese Grand Prix on my honeymoon. Aww. That's how you know she's a keeper.
Sum up in. I'll give you three words. holding up two. Three words. Fernando Alonso to Indy 500 and missing Monaco.
What he wants. What I mean by that is. It's Fernando Alonso, Fernando effing Alonso, racing for, at the moment, a crap bag team like McLaren. If he says, guys, I'm going to go race Indy, now you can have a problem with that, or you can pretty much let me do what I want, because let's be honest, I'm a very big fish in what is a tiny barrel at the moment. So what else are McLaren going to do? What are they going to do? Turn around and go, no, you can't. They don't have any leverage. If they were even regularly in the top 10, and performing that he didn't have to be dragging that car around by the scruff of its neck, they'd have a leg to stand on. But they don't. They've got zero leverage with him.
I enjoyed hearing properly, for me, the first time I felt, from Zach Brown. I like him. I think he's good. I think he adds a bit, and he's going to bounce off some of the other team principals. I think that's probably what's needed. Stoffel Vandoorne didn't even start the race. Steve, can you sum that up in three words? And don't worry, I've got the bleep machine ready.
I don't know about three words, but just... Well, what a disgrace, if you can count the letter A as a word.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
What a disgrace.
Callum?
Well, again, I don't really know about three words, but, you know, I had to put up with that for the last, 2 years. So I can kind of...
Well, Jensen. You channeled it through Jensen.
I feel his grief, basically. But, yeah, it's a sign of the times where McLaren, after 3 years with Honda, still haven't really improved, and they're still getting DNSs, let alone DNFs.
Just remarkable that it was DNS. Rich Williams, we touched on Felipe Massa. He's on it. Why would he ever have wanted to retire?
Maybe that was just what he needed. I've retired, I can relax for a bit, and then suddenly come back and, only joking, but he had a good race. You know, he's best of the rest, really, outside the top three teams, which is probably where Williams should be. And, I mean, right at the start, he had a good start. He was showing some good moves. And yeah, I was quite impressed with him. I feel sorry for Lance Stroll, though, because he had a good start. And he seemed to be first away, because he was weaving left and right. But then it ended not very well. It's just there.
I like the kid. I really do. And I want to see him do well, because obviously we all have a soft spot for Williams, British team. His interview that he gave was a little petulant. Now, OK, you can easily say, yeah, OK, he's what, 19? 19-year-old kid. Max is young. Max isn't that petulant. Max is sort of a bit wise beyond his years. And when you're driving a machine that's that fast, all right, it's a McLaren, it'd still be fast to us. when you're driving something that fast, you've got to have a little bit more about you than to sort of spout off.
I mean, Lance Stroll.
It is fast, yeah. Hats off to it.
I mean, Lance Stroll, obviously, a little bit petulant in the car. Max Verstappen, more petulant to Brazilians. So, I mean, you know, we have to take it both ways. We should also say Claire Williams is expecting a baby. Congratulations to Claire. That's great news, obviously.
Can we do a poll as to what we think our listeners that the baby should be named?
A poll would be difficult because we'd have to make suggestions ourselves. But we want people to suggest.
Yeah, okay, yeah. We want people to suggest names. Yeah.
We'll start up a thread on the Facebook page, which is, of course, fb.me/thenrf1. Or the handle is @thenrf1. And Twitter @thenrf1. What should Claire Williams name her baby?
You know what the middle name will be. If it's a boy, the middle name will be Frank, for definite.
Was he a Francis? I don't know. But we'll have to go a formal. We're doing that. That's exciting. But just back on the previous point, Carlos Sainz got the 3-place grid penalty for Russia, so he's basically being blamed for the crash. But it's the second time that Stroll's been hit where he doesn't really seem to know what's going on about him. Is there any blame, any lack of experience that he's not creating space and he's not using that?
I think for him, as he got to the corner, it was clear there was nothing really alongside him. So he was concentrating on the corner, taking it, you know, racing line over thing. And Sainz, I think, just overcooked it to try and gain some ground out of the pits and caught him by surprise, because it was quite a long way back he came from. But if you remember a couple of years ago, Maldonado was coming out the pits, Gutierrez was on the racing line, and I think Gutierrez flipped his car and all that. So not comparing Sainz and Maldonado,
I think you just did,
but it was a very similar incident that happened. So
very close to getting your prediction right there, because we've seen another car flipped on turn one, which I noticed. Right, just rattle through these. It was a better weekend for Haas and Renault, so that I think was good to see, certainly in qualifying, maybe not so much in the race. As we mentioned before we started recording, Vijay Mallya has been arrested for India team principal. There are claims he owes just the small matter of £900 million after his suggestion of fraud, failed Kingfisher Airlines. Lots of allegations, all allegations. He has been arrested. It's an open case. We'll let that deal with what happens. I don't believe that Vijay Mallya has only been to the British Grand Prix in the last season and a bit, so it's been hanging over his head for a while. Probably not been the best working environment for him. So I'm sure Bob Fernley has been a busy man. Right, more plugs. Well, I think I kind of did these. You just heard where the Twitter and Facebook handles are. They're both @thenrf1. So enjoy that. We'll have lots of chances for you to interact, subscribe, support us, and sign up over the season. We've got some cracking blogs as well from Callum this year, but hopefully more from the other guys as well as the season progresses. Formula One stats are on their way. And of course, the latest NRF1 Prediction League standings, which are very pretty and lovely and interactive. Everything you need, essentially, you will find at our website, nrf1.uk. You can get in touch by emailing nrf1podcast@gmail.com. We love hearing those. This is a message for you, our dear NRF1 listeners. In the last year, there is a young British startup that has shaken up the shaving industry. Over 100,000 men have joined Cornerstone and are now getting a smoother shave than ever before. It's a simple combination of great products, amazing customer support, free delivery, and fair prices that has made Cornerstone the fastest growing shaving company in the UK. It's basically shaving's equivalent to Max Verstappen. They've won numerous awards for their super sharp German engineered razor, just think Mercedes, and outstanding customer support, like a Charlie Whiting hotline, along with endless plaudits from the media, including GQ, Esquire, and the Daily Telegraph. That would be Max Verstappen again. Cornerstone know they need to earn your trust, though, so to let you try their award-winning razor for a fraction of the standard price, with this offer you can get £10 off their razor and get started for just £4. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk and enter the code NRF1 at checkout. Visit cornerstone.co.uk to find out what a smooth shave actually feels like, and if you don't like your Cornerstone razor, Cornerstone will even give you your money back, no questions asked. Now, let's get back to that NRF1 podcast, shall we? Let's dish out our Bahrain awards then, shall we, please? We'll rattle through Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver of the weekend. Go on, Callum.
Got to be Wehrlein, isn't it?
I agree. Pascal Wehrlein.
Yeah, I'll give it to him.
Yeah, I'd go with that. Yeah.
Go on, Pat.
Just because everyone else has said Wehrlein, I give it up for Vettel, and I'm not one for normally saying that, as you will all know.
You almost choked as you said it.
I almost choked on it. But, you know, he's showing consistency at the front now, and that, if I'm honest, is what's going to give us the excitement during the season, really. So, yeah, I'll give it to him just to be different, but you're right, Wehrlein, cracking drive.
Can I also make an addition, not directly Formula 1, but the feeder series, the British Formula 4 championship. I don't know if anyone saw it. They support the British touring cars. They're at Donington this weekend, and there was a young lad, Billy Munger, who was racing, and he had a horrific crash. And he's in hospital with serious leg injuries from that. And yeah, so feeder series, very early feeder series for Formula One.
Well, wish him well, get well soon. Team of the weekend then.
It's a bit of a tricky one really, isn't it? I mean, Ferrari didn't have a great race with both drivers. Mercedes neither as such. Red Bull had a driver, DNF, any ideas, anyone?
Well, I did say Ferrari because they did at least make the right strategy calls, but...
I want to give a shout to Renault, particularly for their Saturday.
That's what I was just about to say. I'll probably give it to Renault. They had a cracking qualifying and they actually started to show some pace. They started to show an ability to hang with the team. Hülkenberg looked like he... I mean, I think we derided him quite openly last season when he said,
repeatedly,
that's where I'm going. And we kind of thought, no, but I mean, it's not going to be that level. But is he showing that kind of prescience that Hamilton showed when he said, I'm going to go to Mercedes from McLaren? And we all said, he's made the wrong choice there. Mercedes aren't going to be competitive. And now they've been dominant. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen at Renault. But, you know, works team, got the money, got the development. More development's coming soon. So I think Renault's going to be a team that really starts to push podiums in the second half of the season. Not right now, but podiums in the second half of the season.
Look where they were last year and how much they've improved. And Red Bull were there. Watch engine hasn't really seemed to take a massive step forward as such.
TikTok, that's we won't have it as an official prediction, but we'll keep that in mind. We'll keep that. You're looking pleased with that one. I did want to mention Channel 4. It's their first live race of the weekend. I thought their coverage was superb. I really enjoyed it. Mark Webber nails it as always.
Did you see the programme they had about Murray Walker on as well?
No, I didn't.
That was really good. It was only half an hour, which is not long enough for Murray Walker. But they were covered, you know, his thoughts on James Hunt and the commentary and things like that, and all his Murrayisms and things. So it was really good, interesting documentary.
Oh, fantastic. I'm sure you can still watch it on 4 on demand or whatever it's called now. I wanted to see the feature they were doing on the karting. What was that, Rich?
I just said, I think they should probably call their 4 on demand 4 play.
Yeah. Hope you all caught that there. I didn't need to bleep it either, so that was good. Yes. Well, I will make sure your mum listens to it. What's your mum's name, Rich?
Oh, I'm not even saying anymore.
You've got to shout out your mum. Shout out your mum. Come on.
Shout out to my mother, Alison.
Here we go, Alison.
Does she go by Ali?
Not usually.
No, okay. No.
Shout out to Rich's mum. You've produced a fine boy. Well done. So yes, where was we at? I didn't get to see the karting feature, but I don't know if that was because I missed it or they said they were going to show it and didn't. Very confusing. Pastor stroke goat of the weekend, who failed.
Easy science. You can't just dive down the inside like that when you're what, like 50 odd metres behind.
He's the only one who got a penalty, I think, as well. I've got McLaren written here.
Yeah, same. Yeah, McLaren.
Both.
Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, Steve!
I know, but he lost himself the race. You know, let's be honest.
That is as pastorish as you can get, really, isn't it? And how about highlight of the weekend? I've got here Channel 4 coverage, as I said, Mark Webber, and a word here for the fact that he got it half right. He said Daniel Ricciardo. So, you know, he's gone a bit old school NRF1. But, you know, he isn't calling him Daniel Ricciardo, and he's Australian. So, buh.
What was really good they did on the grid walk that Coulthard and Webber did, Webber just went to the Red Bull engineers with Ricciardo and the guy, I can't remember his name. He just stuck his microphone in, and you never get that input anywhere. And it was really interesting to hear what they actually were talking about. And, yeah. Credit to him.
It was really good. Mark Webber, I think, said that they'd actually pre-agreed it, so he wasn't just doing it. He had teed it up so they'd be okay to do it, because otherwise, you know, it could have been a massive spat, which would have been quite good to watch as well. Any more highlights?
Palmer's overtake at the start of the race. I forget which driver it was, but I think it was like lap 2 or 3, something like that. But that's a good highlight for me. Nice to see another British driver having a good race.
Yeah, it was, absolutely.
I liked the, was it the battle for like 11th and 12th with the Alonso and I think, yeah, that was it. I mean, they kept cutting back to that throughout the whole race, and you know, there was a good battle with someone battled with Perez quite well as well. I can't remember. I have to admit, I was very jet lagged when I watched it. I'd got in from Heathrow, got on the couch, realised that my Skybox had recorded the race, watched the race, and snoozed for bits and bobs of it. But when I watched that battle, those guys, because I think at one point, one of them, like the guy who was at the front, suddenly ended up at the back, lost two spaces, and then they fought and got it back and everything. It was crazy. I also quite enjoyed just all of Alonso's radio messages, which are, I mean, you could put together a podcast just of those radio messages at the end of the season, and they'd be amazing.
Someone should do that, definitely. I think I wasn't jet lagged, but I started watching qualifying. The Haas drivers were struggling immensely. I fell asleep, woke up, it was Q3 and Grosjean was flying. I don't even know what happened there, but it was great. Highlight, Cam?
I would say probably Alonso's overtake on, I can't even remember who, around turn 11. It was on Ericsson, actually. So that was, yeah, not the kind of overtake you expect to see. I think he just sort of pushed him so far up the inside that Ericsson was always going to run wide onto the exit curb, and there was so much space because Alonso had such a wide entry that he would just sail up the inside. To do that with a Honda engine out of a corner was pretty impressive, I think.
It's stuff like that that makes me wonder. Basically, let's be honest, Alonso ended up at McLaren because he was kind of left out in the cold. All the other big teams had drivers in. But he's so good. Like, it makes me... If he can do that, as Callum says, with a dog of a car... And we said this the same when he was racing for Ferrari. If he can do that with a dog of a car, as it was back then, what do you reckon he could do? I reckon, go south with McLaren this year, you could see him back at Renault next year.
Renault. Back around.
It has been. If they perform like Rich and I have suggested they may towards the end of this season, and they're top five competitive, I reckon you could see a return. The prodigal son would return one or two more seasons, and he'd, you know, partner Hülkenberg, and they'd bring him up.
And you know what we'd do with, obviously, teammates with Hülkenberg, Le Mans. Say no more.
He's desperate to do Le Mans as he's desperate to do Indy 500. Who's going to watch Indy 500 now? No.
Possibly. If I know when it is.
Yeah, I'd need to find out when it is. Callum?
There's only one driver that maybe watch Indy.
Ah, Jensen. And he'll be busy at Monaco, as we now know. Jensen Button, back in a McLaren at Monaco. I mean, any of us could have got that drive, really, because if the car doesn't start anyway, we could literally...
Out on the first lap. First corner.
Short walk home, if that's the case.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah, literally. Where is the apartment?
That happened to Senna, didn't he? I think he crashed or broke down outside his house. So he just climbed over the barrier, went home, and stayed there for the rest of the day. So we could obviously see that.
Kimmy doesn't live there, but he brings his yacht. And Kimmy just always ends up on his yacht if he crashes out, doesn't he? So.
Ice cream. Is there not a suggestion that Fernando Alonso might also go out on the first corner of Indy, and that'll be that, all this big build up, and it lasts like a few. Especially if he's got a Honda engine as well. We should just one highlight that we haven't mentioned, Kimi's walk when his car gave up in I think it was FP1, wasn't it, and he was left to basically walk all the way across the circuit. Loads of things doing the rounds of, you know, Wild West soundtracks and what have you, New Sheriff in Town. Watch them, absolutely priceless stuff. Brilliant. Okay, well, we're done. I think that's Bahrain officially done to death, so to speak. If you want to know how our predictions went, then listen back to them. You could just visit nrf1.uk, check out the player, and our predictions podcast will be there. I think it was episode 154. Thanks, Callum. 154. So they were our predictions. And also, if you go to nrf1.uk/predictf1, you can see what the standings were before, who predicted what ahead of the Bahrain Grand Prix as well. And I'll be updating those standings very soon. If you want to get involved with them too, all you need to do is make your predictions before the start of FP1 and enter the spirit of the competition too. We've got lots of people predicting podiums. But we really appreciate you getting involved. Obviously, but you know, just throw in who's going to finish 12th. That's all I'm asking for. I sound so ungrateful, don't I, Pip?
Yesterday's, when was it, DT used to predict like the entire top 10?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
That's some crazy stuff.
And a nod, we'll mention him again, I'm sure, but a nod to Andy Whitney, who is nailing his predict. I mean, he's giving you a serious kudos points run this. I can tell you're getting twitchy about it too, Rich.
Yeah, I mean, I made four special predictions specifically to try and keep my crown.
He's in your head. We're not going to talk any more about them. We'll get onto those later. He's in your head. Right, for now, gents, thank you so much. We will be back very soon. In fact, edition 156 of the podcast is going to be our F1 Global Fan Survey podcast, where we're going to go through the Global Fan Survey podcast. We're probably going to be hours, I hope not. And we'll do it all, and we'll put F1 right live on a podcast. How exciting. And of course, next week, the usual pre-race routine will be here for you ahead of Russia, starting with the latest news, your audio submissions and questions on our Twitter and Facebook pages. But for now, oh, and especially, of course, name suggestions for Claire Williams' baby. It could be a boy or girl.
I guarantee you one of the first ones we'll get will be Baby McBabyface.
I hope that. I'd be disappointed if not.
And the second one will be Harambe. I'm aware of how the internet works at the moment. So that's what's going to happen.
Gents, thank you so much to Steve, to Rich, to Ped, special bonus Ped, and Callum on a debut. Well done, nailed the debut. That was a decent debut, wasn't it? What we put, good Formula One debut, so I can't really think of any off the top of my head.
He was already better than we were on our first pod, so...
Previewing Pastel's first and only Formula One win.
Don't remind me.
Right, goodbye from this lot, goodbye from me. Thanks very much to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up at gpro.net/nrf1. And of course, thanks to Future Radio. This has been the NRF1 podcast, if I can get it out. We hope you enjoyed our Bahrain review. Loads coming up for you, so get subscribed. We'll be back in your ears before you know it. Until then, goodbye!